verses 7 through 10 where we were looking at. And I got to back up further than that. Verse 6 is where I'll start. But when we taught about it last time, I brought several books. One we never got to, but Wiese's Word Study of the New Testament and his commentary on Galatians, as well as J. Vernon McGee's commentary on Galatians. J. Vernon McGee is not as technical of a teacher as someone like Wiese. Wiese tears each word apart. He's not really good with keeping with the right text. But anyhow, I use them, especially in Wiese. I think he quoted 5 different theologians who support his view, which is contrary to what the Bible says. It's almost like saying, if you get enough people telling a lie enough times, everyone thinks it's true. So if you get 5 theologians who agree with you, that makes it a fact. Well, don't make it a fact. Here's the verses. Galatians 2, verse 6 says, "But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's persons." We were talking about last week, Paul's going to repeat that twice, as if when he got to Jerusalem, concerning and what's going on here is a council at Jerusalem is meeting because they hear Paul's telling Gentiles they don't have to be circumcised to be saved. Peter, James the elder, and John, among all the apostles and elders at Jerusalem, they have no idea that that's true. But they want to hear what Paul has to say about it. So Paul's gone to Jerusalem to communicate. It said, verse 2, he went up by revelation unto them to communicate that gospel unto them that he preaches among the Gentiles. So the apostles and elders at Jerusalem don't know the gospel message that Paul's preaching among the Gentiles. But they seem to be somewhat. So you can realize he's walking into the arena of the know-it-alls. Not that they have that attitude, because they're going to find out they weren't know-it-alls. They learned something instead. So it's not that way, but he is walking into the presence where he sensed that they thought that they knew more than him. But the gospel that he preached way back in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, tell us that he got his gospel by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, gave him the message that he's supposed to preach to the Gentiles, and it doesn't involve Gentiles being circumcised to be saved. So he says again, "But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." That idea of conference has to do with they can confer one for another. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? But it didn't matter what any of them thought, because Paul got his revelation from Jesus Christ. So that's why whoever they were, it means nothing to him. But the fact is they added nothing to Paul. But contrarywise, and that's where we were emphasizing at the close of last study, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forwarded to do. So it's very clear from verse 7, but contrarywise, the end of verse 8, they didn't add anything to Paul, but contrarywise, that means he added something to them. And then when you get down to verse 9, when they perceived the grace that was given unto Paul, so that they're learning something from the Apostle Paul, and that's what this is all about. And when I read those commentaries last week, 2 weeks ago, when we were looking at that contrarywise, what everybody's trying to stress is that Paul and Peter, they're trying to say, did not have 2 different gospel messages. All their understanding here is that Paul is preaching the same gospel message only to a different group of people, the Gentiles, and Peter's preaching the same message to the circumcision, the nation of Israel. And the reason that they all have to focus in on that is they have no idea who the Apostle Paul is and what the revelation was given to him was. And since they have a false premise, they don't know what to do with these verses, so they twist the verses and they keep quoting one another to say, this doesn't mean what it sounds like it's saying. And it's just, even if you didn't have just those two verses, maybe you could make an argument. But the whole context ever since chapter 1 is that Paul got a gospel message from Jesus Christ that caused the people in Jerusalem to wonder what he's teaching among the Gentiles. So he goes and tells them what he's teaching. They don't add anything to him, but he adds something to them. So they were ignorant about something that they're learning for the first time. And for them to say all they're learning is that they're both teaching the same thing is false. Because the whole thing starts out, they don't even know if a Gentile can be saved without circumcision. So the point is to be careful. Theologians will quote one another just to feel good about their false beliefs about things. And this is one of the things that makes Grace Bible Church. We're in our elders meeting talking yesterday. We are not like any other church out there, because all those other churches out there have no idea what God's doing in the dispensation of grace, because they don't believe in right division. They don't believe in the special revelation that was given to Paul that's for us, that's different than what Peter taught to the 12. And this passage is so clear that, in fact, I think I mentioned on a Sunday a couple back, everybody comes to understand, the ones who come to understand right division come from a different way. And it was interesting that Brandon, who's been attending our assembly, who attended a Free Will Baptist church that mixes the gospel up real bad because they don't rightly divide, he was on the internet and came across a guy out of Denver who uses this passage of scripture like we use 2 Timothy 2:15. His whole point is the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. And he'll go back in the Old Testament and show how important circumcision was, and then how Paul says, if you be circumcised, God will profit you nothing. and he wakes people up. He uses this passage to teach right division. And Brandon was telling me about it, and I'm thinking, wow, we always use 2 Timothy 2:15, but I understand why the guy did that. He said, here's the verse where you learn to rightly divide. But anyhow, that's the truth of the matter. And the theologians mess up the verse. They just cannot believe the simple truth that Paul added something to them that they didn't know. And what he added to them is called the gospel of the uncircumcision. And that's not the same as the gospel of the circumcision. How can you be anything more different than uncircumcision and circumcision? But what they do is they just make it to the circumcision. The New King James Version, I looked at it and I thought, I can't quite condemn it. If you've ever heard me preach, you find out that the word of just twists my mind all to pieces, but not in this passage. that I know that the gospel of the uncircumcision is God's message for the uncircumcision. It's the message that the gospel message for the Gentiles. So what I was going to say, the New King James, they take the word of and translate it for. And that's still good, except that what these guys do is they take that idea for, they actually translate it to. For instance, I brought a couple. I'm going to share another one in just a minute. That this is the New American Standard Version. And since the translators here, rather than just being honest with the scriptures, that they throw their interpretation in to at least this point. It says in verse 7, it says, but on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcision, just as Peter had been to the circumcision. Well, that verse isn't saying that. He's been entrusted with a message. Now, it's verse 8. If you look at verse 8, for he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. They are making verse 7 say the same thing in verse 8. There'd be no reason for verse 8 if it said the same thing. And if verse 7 didn't say what it said, there'd be no reason for the argument all the way back to chapter 1 of Paul receiving a gospel revelation from Jesus Christ. He could have got it from man. He didn't have to get it from Jesus Christ. And he didn't have to go to Jerusalem to explain that gospel that he's preaching if they're preaching the same gospel. But verse 8 has to do with who he's preaching it to and his apostleship to those people. It's verse 7 is the message that he's preaching. And the other translations, just like those Those other commentaries who will not recognize Paul's unique ministry in this age of grace, they mess up verse 7, and the other translations mess people up as well. In fact, some of the newer churches, they're using the new one. The one translation I haven't gotten yet, well, there's a bunch I haven't gotten, but most churches are now turning to the New English Version. And so I don't have one of those. So I went online and I put Galatians 2:7 NEV. And so a website pops up so I could read it in that version. And they do the same thing as it wasn't any different than what I just read to you. They have it too. But what was interesting, that website had the same verse in 52 translations. I'm looking through this. I didn't know there was that many translations out there. The King James was one of the 52. I was glad of that. But you know, the King James Bible we say it's the Bible for English speaking people, and you'll see that it's always accurate, where the other ones are actually changing that meaning or watering down the meaning of that verse, disguising the truth of what the very context, you don't have to disguise it, the context has to do with the message that Paul's preaching and how they're learning that for the first time at Jerusalem. So anyhow, they are causing problems with the other translations, but they do that. The word dispensation doesn't appear in any of the other translations, so people think it's weird. What do you call yourself, a dispensationalist? That word's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. It's several times in the Bible. But anyhow, it's just a way of watering down and camouflaging the Word of God. So Grace Bible Church, our stand on right division, our stand on the King James Bible just makes us distinct from everything else out there. And important for us, no matter how small we might get, to stand for the truth and be a light, screaming out, doing our best to get it out there. The gospel of the uncircumcision that was committed unto Paul that's what they didn't know. They didn't know what the gospel of the uncircumcision was, and that gospel of the uncircumcision has to do with what was revealed to Paul, verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, that he got by revelation of Jesus Christ. It's that gospel in chapter 2 and verse 2 that he preaches among the Gentiles. I think I said it this way last time too. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, when Apostle Paul says, in whom also ye believed, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The reason it's called the gospel of the uncircumcision, it's the gospel of Gentile salvation. That's how Paul would say it. He just said in that verse, the gospel of your salvation. He's writing to Gentiles. It's Gentile salvation apart from Israel's covenants. Now this is I don't know how everybody else defines the gospel of the uncircumcision. Paul calls his gospel the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God. There's those other terms. But here, the term, the gospel of the uncircumcision, is telling you about Gentile salvation apart from the nation of Israel. Circumcision has to do with the covenant and the sign of Israel being God's people. The gospel of the uncircumcision is you can be God's people without being a part of Israel. So that's why it's called the gospel of the uncircumcision. In fact, just flip over Ephesians. Hopefully you got these verses memorized, but for the record, Ephesians chapter 2. When we say the gospel of Gentile salvation, salvation for Gentiles apart from the nation of Israel, it's apart from their covenants. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Now we are called that because uncircumcision is unclean. Circumcision was clean, at least as far as spiritually, they belong to God. And so when they're calling us uncircumcised, that we're unclean sinners. Paul's going to say that later on in chapter 2, where when he's facetiously mentioning to Peter that we are not sinners of the Gentiles. That's how the Gentiles, so they called us uncircumcised by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, so then, The gospel of the uncircumcision is, in uncircumcision, you have hope. You have Christ, you have salvation. So that's totally different than Israel's message there, that when God was dealing with the nation of Israel, we're cut off from all that. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. So being in Christ today is different than what the Gentiles were without hope. But even, catch that phrase, strangers from the covenants of promise. Israel had covenants of promise. We were strangers from that, and that meant we didn't have God and we didn't have Christ. We didn't have a Savior. But now that's changed. Romans chapter 11, and you want to turn there because I'm going to refer back to this. Again, these verses, this is what Sunday when I was preaching, we had, they weren't first-time visitors, but they were, I think they know our doctrine. I think they come here because of our doctrine. I better not say any more because anyhow, I kept referring to Romans 11 because I didn't want to go and teach even the verses that we're going to look at right now because we just had so much other things to cover. But we were talking about Israel and that what the types that are there in Exodus is a type of ages to come for the nation of Israel, and that those things have been postponed by the age of grace we live in today, and that's what the point here. Romans 11:11, Paul says, I say then, have they, speaking about Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now that's an amazing truth. It's a truth that you'll only find in Paul's epistles, that through the fall of Israel, salvation's gone to the Gentiles. That's never been spoken of in the Bible before. Peter, if you would have went to Peter before this council meeting here and said, you know, if Israel falls, will God turn around and save Gentiles instead? He'd say, absolutely not. Back when God judged Israel before and put them in that captivity, he didn't turn to the Gentiles then. He waited 70 years, brought Israel back, and continued to work on them to be the light to the Gentiles. So, but here Israel falls, and it's the salvation of the Gentiles. It says, verse 12, it says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So we're talking about things going to Israel. This is the gospel of the uncircumcision. These blessings come unto us apart from the nation of Israel. Goes on, for I speak unto you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and save some of them. Point being, they have to get saved like us today, like a Gentile. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So they're cast away. Down in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What's going on today is a mystery. What God turning to Gentiles through the fall and casting away of Israel is something never revealed before. That Paul's an apostle of that message and the message for us today. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Then he quotes the Old Testament. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. We'll probably quote that verse in a moment. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Put us all in the same boat, and then turns around and has mercy upon everybody. But Israel gets the same mercy as the Gentile gets, as cut off from God and now saved by the grace of God if they'll trust Jesus Christ. So my point is, if you want a definition of the gospel of the uncircumcision, it has to do with Gentile salvation that was revealed to Paul, that's apart from Israel's covenants and promises, that came to the Gentiles through the fall of Israel, diminishing of Israel, and the casting away of Israel. You couldn't get any more different than what the gospel of the circumcision is. That's the gospel of the uncircumcision. So compare that then with what is the gospel of the circumcision. And that's really part of the problem. People might understand about salvation by grace through faith, not realizing it came through the message of Paul and it's apart from Israel, but they don't know what the gospel of the circumcision was. And that's really the predominant part of your Bible. The gospel of the circumcision is the good news that will come to the world through Israel's covenant blessings fulfilled. And you're right here in Romans. That's why I wanted you to go to Romans 11. You see it, Paul saying it every time he says it, like in verse 12. For if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, now notice the last part, how much more their fullness? So the gospel of the uncircumcision is through the fall and diminishing of Israel. Then Paul says, just think what he's going to do when he fulfills the gospel of the circumcision. That's in the future. How much more when they come into their fullness? There's going to be Gentile salvation through Israel, when Israel comes into our covenant blessings. Verse 15, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, now that's what's happening today in the gospel of the uncircumcision, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? When God receives Israel and they come back in their full covenant blessings, just think what's going to happen then. It's going to be the resurrection of the first resurrection that you read about in the book of Revelation. Not the rapture, but the first resurrection, when there's going to be multitudes even out of all nations that are going to be raised from the dead and enter into the kingdom. We quote all kinds of verses about that, but that's not the point here. So you get an idea what just from Paul's epistles alone what the gospel of the circumcision is. We read verse 25, and then verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That's good news for the whole world. That's going to come through the circumcision, the covenant fullness that Israel is going to come into when God fulfills all of the things He promised them. Gentiles will be blessed through the nation of Israel. Run through these verses with me. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. It starts with here with Abraham. He calls out Abraham. And he says in verse 2 of Genesis 12, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So it's not just God's going to take Abraham, create out of him a great nation, and what he's going to do through Abraham is going to be all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. So that it's what God's doing with Abraham is not just for the nation of Israel. The gospel of the circumcision is that through Israel, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So he's got to create that seed. So you come over to chapter 17, and here's the promise that Isaac is going to be born. It says in verse 7, it says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So what we're talking about there is not just Abraham, but his multiplied seed. That's the nation of Israel. And I will give thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. So it's eternal. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. And this is the covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And it's not, but that me and you is also that generations after him. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in thy house or bought with thy money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. he hath broken my covenant. So any uncircumcised person is not in covenant relationship with God. You can understand if Peter's preaching the gospel of the circumcision, why, if he hears Paul's telling Gentiles you can be saved apart from circumcision, how that would be strange in his ears, and how it would take Paul's revelation for them to know contrarywise, Paul adds to them a gospel message called the gospel of the uncircumcision. But what God's going to do through Israel centers in the circumcision was a must. Look at chapter 18, verse 18. God tells Abraham how he's going to multiply a seed. And he says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, by the way, I'm going to say this now, but we'll actually study it later. Later in Galatians 3, we're going to find out that Paul can look at Abraham and see how the Gentiles are blessed in Abraham's seed, in the sense that the seed is, there's a singular seed, Jesus Christ. And we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So he could take these verses and say, look, God, Abraham's the father of us all because Jesus Christ is that singular seed. And in the gospel of the uncircumcision, we come to God through Christ. That's true in this age. And a lot of people grab onto that and think that, okay, then that doesn't mean the multiplied seed of Abraham means anything. But that's where they make a mistake. The covenant of the gospel of circumcision has to do with God, the multiplied seed of Abraham, God blessing the world through the nation of Israel. So just because Paul can talk about how we're blessed today in Christ doesn't negate the covenant to Abraham, that it's that nation that's going to come out of him, that great nation that's going to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And it's because when God fulfills his promises to them, all nations get blessed because he establishes through Israel his kingdom on this earth, and of the increase of his kingdom and peace there'll be no end. Chapter 22. Now that's what I just said is an important distinction. And people will grab one and negate the other, but you can't. Both are true. One's true in this age, the other's true concerning the covenant, Israel's covenant blessings. Genesis 22 in verse 18 again, it says, verse 17 says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and this is promised to Isaac, isn't it? Yeah. It says, in blessing I will bless... this is after he offered up Isaac, that God's reiterating the promise to Abraham. The next one will be Isaac. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. The emphasis about the multiplied seed there. Paul can single out the Lord, but what's being expressed to Abraham in the covenant to Abraham is his multiplied seed becoming a blessing to all the nations. Chapter 26, verse 4. This is that other one. It says, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all the countries... and in thy seed, all these countries where he settled, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed the voice. So the gospel of the circumcision is how there's going to be blessing to the whole world through the nation of Israel. Now, we're not going to go to Exodus where he tells them that the calling of them out was to make them a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. But I want you to come to Isaiah. Start in chapter 59. Because these are the references when Paul said, so all Israel shall be blessed. Look what happens here. Isaiah 59 in verse 20. It says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. That Jacob His name was changed to Israel. Those who turn from transgression, Jacob will be a spiritual Israel. It says, as for me, this is my covenant unto them, saith the Lord. My spirit, which is upon thee, my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So Jesus Christ is going to come back, and the repentant part of the nation of Israel, he's going to fulfill his covenant with them. He's going to establish that kingdom. Look what's going to happen when he comes back. Chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon them, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now that's the exact opposite of what Paul was saying in Romans 11. He said, through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. Here, according to the God's covenant promises to Abraham, is Jesus Christ is going to come back, his glory is going to be seen in Israel, and the Gentiles are going to come to God through the rise of Israel. That's the gospel of the circumcision. You know, these people who don't, you know, how do they study their Bible when they say that those two gospels are the same? When they're two different gospels for two different time periods, and that's, we'll get into that apostleship verse next time, but you see that there. Before we leave Isaiah, look at 61. This is the fulfillment. He comes back. He saves Israel. It says in verse 6, it says, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. You got Gentiles coming to God through Israel, and they're priests. Well, we don't have priests today. But there's going to be God, holy God, and sinful Gentiles. And who brings them, the sinful Gentiles, to God? The holy nation of Israel. They're going to become a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. And they begin to minister to the Gentiles and bring Gentiles to light. Verse 9 says, and their seed, the Jewish seed, shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. There's Gentiles coming to God through the blessed nation of Israel. Look at chapter 62, verse 1. It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake will I not rest until righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. So God's going to bring light to Israel, salvation, righteousness. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the kings thy glory. And they shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name, and thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Israel is going to come to a fullness of blessings, and then now the Gentiles come to that knowledge through their light. And that's how God's going to bless the world through the nation of Israel. And just so that if someone asks me in a short answer, what is the gospel of the circumcision? Come with me to Acts chapter 3. With what we just said there, while you turn there, do you remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when the 12 apostles were supposed to go out? They're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ultimately the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because after you've gone through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, you've covered Israel, and then the gospel goes after them to the uttermost parts of the earth. We'll talk later about them never doing that because that's been postponed, but with that in mind, watch these verses. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Peter just convicted the nation of Israel of killing their prince of life, prince of peace. Verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. So you got them repenting and God sending Jesus Christ back to do what? Whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things. He's going to restore everything back to like the Garden of Eden, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now that's the gospel of the circumcision. The gospel of the uncircumcision, no one knew about it till Paul. Contrarywise, they learned it from Paul. But anyhow, it says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto thee. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet," now that speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall be destroyed from among the people." So God's going to weed out within the nation of Israel those who believe that Jesus is the Christ from those who have not believed it. "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Notice this. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Now see, he's saying, look, you're the multiplied seed of Abraham because you're the believing remnant in Abraham. And so you're the fulfillment of that covenant. Verse 26, "Unto you first, God having raised up his son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Salvation don't come to the Gentiles till Israel's blessed. And when Israel's blessed, then the Gentiles come to salvation to God, or are brought to the light of God through the nation of Israel. That's the gospel of circumcision. Salvation through the nation of Israel, through her being blessed of God, coming into the fullness of her blessing. The gospel, we've already defined, of uncircumcision is salvation going to the Gentiles apart from the nation of Israel. While you're in Acts, come over to Acts chapter 7, because here's the place where Stephen's indicting Israel for rejecting rather than receiving, in the place that God is going to cut off the nation of Israel and then raise up the Apostle Paul. But in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, he's standing before the council. It's really important to see that just like Moses glowed when he got the law, Stephen is going to talk about the covenant promises, the new covenant that's going to bring in all the blessings to Israel. And so he's shining with the same light. He says, "Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and and come to the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan," Haran it's called in the Old Testament, "and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much to put his foot on. Yet he promised him that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land that is not theirs, and bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years, and the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God. After that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and to Abraham, and so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob the 12 patriarchs." The point is, he's multiplying the seed, like he said, but when he calls that covenant in verse 8, he gave him the covenant of circumcision. Instead of calling it the Abrahamic covenant, that through you all the nations of the world be blessed, he said it's the covenant of the circumcision. That's the gospel of the circumcision. And so there's how you would define that. And that's, so let me just say it just I think I said it clear enough, but I just wrote it clear to make sure I would say it clear. The gospel of the circumcision is the good news of salvation to the world through the nation, through Israel's covenant promises fulfilled. The gospel of the uncircumcision is the good news of salvation to the world apart from Israel's covenants, but as revealed to Paul, salvation through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God through faith for there is no difference. And so you get the idea of that. Now, I'm going to close with just making one other point to you that just floored me when I saw this. We talk about the other translations, and I already gave you a warning. The other translations water verse 7 down. This is the New International Version. And I never knew this. I just wanted to see if they said two or four, or how they changed the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. You follow along the best you can. I'm going to read Galatians 2 and verse 7 out of the New International Version. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. You know the difference between, a lot of times that we say there's, the King James comes from a different Greek text than most of the other translations. But I got the corrupt Greek text that this translation comes out, and the Greek word, did you notice there is no word uncircumcision and no word circumcision in the verse? I looked in the Greek, it's there. These guys threw the words out totally, and not even telling you that they threw it out. Well, let me read that again. You talk about changing the meaning. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. Is that what they learned? No, absolutely not. They learned the message that was revealed to Paul that they didn't know about, because it was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Salvation apart from the nation of Israel. It didn't involve any kind of circumcision. So, while I'm here, you still got Acts? Acts, well, I got to find it. Acts 13, I'm going to read you that in this book too, because I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. You can't believe these Bibles. Acts chapter 13, and it has nothing to do with what we just studied. It has to do with what we were studying on Wednesday. Starting in verse 19 of Acts 13, it talks about like Joshua coming in and destroying seven nations, in the land of Canaan by lot. And then in verse 20, it says, and afterwards he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. If you remember when we were studying, God brought Israel out 430 years right to the day. And then here it doesn't talk about those numbered days. It talks about after that, when God gave them judges, that they had the space of judges for 450 years. Let me read that to you in this translation. Acts 13 and verse 19. I'll start there. I find it. Can't find where 19 is. Wait a minute. 18. 19, okay. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land unto his people as an inheritance, as their inheritance. All this took 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Is that what your Bible says? I'm going to say that again. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel. You see, they took the 450 years and didn't put it into the time of the judges. They put it in the time that God was working with Israel. And that doesn't work. The Bible tells you it was 430 years. That's wrong. This Bible's wrong. People who teach Sunday school kids out of a Bible like that is going to teach kids error, because the Bible's wrong. King James got it right. That's amazing. And people think, oh, you're just picky about what Bible version you use. You won't learn what the gospel of the uncircumcision is and the difference between that and the gospel of the circumcision is unless you have this. You won't understand dispensational truth. You won't understand who the Apostle Paul is. On and on and on. Well, thank the Lord that you all agree with me. I'm not arguing. I don't know who I'm arguing with, but I get really mad about it. I could never compromise any of that truth. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for our study together today, and thank you for each person that came here willing to look at the verses and see exactly what you're saying. And even against the odds of the majority and even the higher theologians, as Paul would say, they who seem to be somewhat, it makes no matter to us because we got a complete Bible. And we know that was given to Paul was the gospel of the uncircumcision that's for us. And it has to do with not only how we're saved, but it has to do with this whole age of grace and what you're accomplishing in the age of grace as revealed to the Apostle Paul. And I thank you. You made it clear. If people just read and believe the book of Galatians, they can see it. And what you promised Israel, you will do in the future, just as you promised it. And Gentiles will have a chance through Israel to be saved according to the gospel of the circumcision. So thank you for your love and your grace. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.